I've only ever owned one Beetle, and it was an early Beetle. And to cut a long story short, I rebuilt the motor in this very spot where I'm sitting now. In the younger days, I got a phone call from a bloke that I used to supply my services to quite a bit. And he said, what are you up to? I'm just at home, not doing much. And he said, I've got a big job on. Are you interested? Yeah. He said, well, if you can get here, whatever day it was, he said, it's yours. I said, well, I haven't got a car. And he said, well, that's not my problem. Anyway, I went down to the shed and looked around in the shed, and there was a VW, a red Volkswagen Beetle. I had no idea who owned it. And I did a bit of research, and I found out who owned it. And they lived in Albury. So I rang them up, and I said, that VW that you left here X amount of years ago, what do you want for it? They said, oh, 50 bucks or whatever it was. So, yep, okay. And I dragged them up here into the shed with the little tractor. Looked at them, and they told me that what had happened to it. Their son, which was one of our cousins or something, I don't know. He'd cooked it and just left it in the shed. So I rang up this Volkswagen place in Grafton and ordered a COFAB, made in Brazil, of course, top-end rebuild kit, pistons, rings, gaskets, the whole works and jerks. And got it up into the shed here, and the parts turned up the following day. And I stayed up all night, pulled the motor out of that thing, put the new pistons, barrels. The old barrels were just sitting right here in front of me on the shelf above me, against the corrugated iron wall. They're all sitting up there, the gudgeon pins poking out of them. And I had no idea what I was doing, but anyway, got it all back together. I hate to admit it, but it was unregistered, but back in those days, anything for a quid. So I set sail at about 6 o'clock in the morning, totally untested, untried, no soak test, no nothing. And I got to the Armidale Airport, which is about 50 k's away, and it just sort of got slower and slower and slower, and eventually stopped. Sort of heat seized, you know, and from the added friction and all the rest of it. And I just let it sit and wound it. It's still 6 volts, this thing, and wound it over, and it finally went again. So I set sail, and I eventually got up to a place called Callandoon, which is up in Queensland. And what we were doing was building a dam. We were putting 250 acres underwater. And the deal was, I used to do night shift, and I used to take the Volkswagen out at 6 p.m. and the driver of the particular machine that we were sharing, he'd jump into the Volkswagen at 6 p.m. and bring it back to the camp. And at 6 a.m. when he bothered to turn up, he used to turn up in a Honda Odyssey, which he used to drive down the road. Remember those Honda Odysseys?
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, this Honda Odyssey had an XL 500 motor in it, as opposed to the 360 two-stroke. It was outrageous, this thing, and he'd turn up to take over his shift in this Odyssey buggy. Anyway, this went on for quite a few months, and everything was pretty good. I turned up at the usual time, in the middle of winter it was, so it was dark. And parked the Volkswagen. And this guy was younger than me, he was quite a few years younger than me. He was from Victoria somewhere. Anyway, climbed up the ladder and poked my head in the cabin. He said, oh, I haven't fueled it up yet. Jump in and we'll go and fuel it up, because that was the deal, you know, you kept it full at the end of every shift. And I said, I've just parked the Volkswagen there. When you park around, just be careful. And familiarity breeding contempt, as it does. We got over this big fuel bowser, like a big semi-trailer thing with a pump on it. And we got out and went to walk down the side and ran into this Volkswagen. And you know what a twin tower scraper is?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it arced around really tight, and where the pivot pins, there's these humongous big pivot pins where the draft arms, which basically, what allow you to lift and raise the thing. It had got caught up on one of the shear bolts on the where these big arms are. And anyway, cut a long story short, it ripped this huge hole from about where the bonnet met the windscreen, all the way back through the driver's side door, back under the sort of half glass, and to the sort of rear quarter panel, I suppose you'd call it. Anyway, this great gaping hole. So anyway, we jerked it, lifted the hydraulics up and down a few times, and finally got it off, and he felt absolutely horrible. I said, don't worry about it, you know, it's not even registered. And anyway, when the job finished, he came over, we had having a few beers, and as I say, a young bloke, and he came over with $50. He said, oh, you know, I feel really bad about that, he's $50.
Well, at least you got your money's back.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I'm glad you can laugh about it. I mean, the tragedy is those things are worth a lot of money now.
Oh, probably, yeah. Well, there's one for... Yeah, anyway, yeah, it's not here nor there, but... anyway, I said, look, it's okay, don't worry about it. And he said, no, I insist that you take the $50. So I took the $50. And look, there's so much went on, I won't bore you with it all, but cut a long story short, I went into the nearest big town, I drove this thing in with this gaping hole up the side, and parked it right outside the courthouse there, and went inside and said, I'd like a permit to move an unregistered vehicle, please. And they said, yeah, fine, no worries at all. And they said, that'll be $12. So I promptly handed them the $50 note that the guy gave me. They gave me this humongous, A4 size sheet of paper, a big yellow sheet of paper. It could have been pink, I can't remember. And they said, stick this in your windscreen.
And you did.
Yeah, so I did. I did. I stuck it in the windscreen. So I thought, you know, I was ready to rock and roll, and I headed off, and there was one set of traffic lights in this town, and I sort of idled back to pull up at the traffic lights, and then nothing, just died.
Oh,
dear. Yeah, and anyway, all these people are honking their horns and stuff, and I sort of got out and said, well, if you want me to move, you'll have to help me push it off the road. So we did that. And one of the rubber hoses, the fuel delivery hose had come off the car, being sprayed petrol all over the joint. Anyway, I kept going. I got about, I don't know, 20 k's out of town, and it stopped again, and sort of missing and carrying on. You know, I did the top end, but I put the original plugs back in, didn't do the carby, all this sort of stuff. And it was broken down, I had the back up, and this bloke pulled up in a Hilux or a Land Cruiser or something. He said, oh, you look like you could use some help, and he said, I'm in a bit of a hurry, he said, but I'll tow you up to our workshop. They had a big cotton farm there, you know, and he towed me up to the workshop. He said, workshop's there, tools are there, use what you need, I never forget a face, don't mess up, all this sort of stuff. I got it going again. And anyway, it broke down three or four times at least. It broke down, and the end result was that I was on the Bruxner Highway, flogging the living daylights out of this car with a sapling. I just had a gutful of it, and I was just beating the crap out of it. And somebody else pulled up and, you know, sort of introduced himself, and we had a bit of a look over it. We got it going again. It was just on sunset. I got going again, and then you'd turn off the Bruxner Highway, and you had to go up over this big gravel sort of mountain range, and I remember dak, 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 up this gravel road. And just on sunset, and I thought, driving along, I thought, geez, it's bloody, you know, brighter than it should be in here. And I looked around, sort of thing, and the whole back, the paint, the windscreen rubbers, the back window rubber was on fire.
So what did you do?
I stopped on this bit of flat road and just reached in the back seat. I had, you know, a bag of clothes, and I used to wear this big full-length leather jacket, which I still have in the middle of winter. You used to have to get out at night time and crowbar all the bowl and stuff. And I grabbed this big full-length leather jacket, and I thought, oh, maybe I can smother it with that. And then I realised I had an esky, so I opened the esky and there was a six pack of beer in there. I grabbed the six pack and shook one of them up like crazy and just opened it and sprayed it all over the back of the Volkswagen. Yeah, I put it out and I thought, well, I'm stuffed now. I am totally and absolutely stuffed. So I grabbed my bag, threw it over my shoulder and started walking along this this dirt track. And
what time was it?
Well, it would have been sort of just around sunset, so I guess it was, somewhere around 5 o'clock or something like that, 5:30.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm stuffed now, I'm going to have to walk, try and hitch, though. It wasn't a very sort of busy road or anything. And bugger me dad, this ute came the other way. And they stopped and asked what had happened, and they had these two young girls in it. One was about, I reckon one would have been about 18, and the other one's probably in their mid-20s. And they asked what had happened. I told them, they said, jump in, and they set sail back towards the Wackenschwagen. I didn't ask them to do anything, they just said, oh yeah, right. And they turned around behind the Volkswagen, lifted the engine cover, and the two girls, I didn't say a word, and they just set about, by the headlamps of their ute, twitching wires back together, and they had the bonnet up on their ute, and they were pulling bits of rubber hose off, like surplus bits of rubber hose that went to the windscreen washers and various other places, and getting tools out of the back of their ute and stuff. And anyway, I just got out of their way. I got the esky back out of the back of the Volkswagen. I was sitting on that, sipping on a stubby.
As you do, while two women are working on your car.
Yeah, this is an absolute truth. And half an hour, three quarter of an hour, one girl said to the other, try that. And they got in and then it just burst into life, this Wackenschwagen, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. You know, I was just sitting there taking it all in, and they said, oh, well, that should get you home. And anyway, I said, how the hell, what's going on? Am I, in another world or what? How do you girls know so much about Volkswagens? And they said, well, we're just on holidays. We're visiting our grandmother that's got a property up the road, and they've got lots of Volkswagens on the farm that they use for different purposes, those shooting buggies and all that sort of crap. We know them inside out.
There you go. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me you ended up marrying one of them.
Well, I used to get cards from them. I haven't had a card for years, but they used to send cards, and we'd sort of reminisce about the day on the mountain there with the burnt-out Volkswagen.
So that bug did you well?
Yeah, so it ran really well from that day on. As soon as I got it home, I rang the place where I bought the top-end rebuild kit from and said, come and get it.
Oh, dear.